for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, it's 1982. There's a demon in your Walkman. It is the 1982 classic, sort of, two movies in one, Amityville 2, The Possession. Hillary is here joining us from her lovely cozy, because you're like in a blanket and stuff. You're very, very cozy this morning, my love. In the Carolinas.
Yeah, no, South Carolina. We turned off our heat last night because there is like one room in the house that gets hot and the rest of the house doesn't. So it was just like, let's turn it off. So now it's, you know, bundle up weather, maybe turn on the fireplace, which is just pretty to look at, doesn't warm up anything, and keep it moving.
Nice. I like that. All right. So you said that you had seen this before. But do you remember when you saw it? Like what age you were or anything like that?
I do, actually.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm awake. All right.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah. Tune in, folks. So, you know, anybody that listens to the show know that I like grew up in Jersey. Mm-hmm. So Amityville Horror was, you know, New York, Long Island. And New York was not far from me. Like we could take a train, not necessarily to go out to like Long Island, but you know, we could take a train up to New York. And I distinctly remember at 12 years old, I watched the Paradise Lost documentary on HBO.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
This was my first introduction to like true crime documentaries. And I cried myself to sleep, those like three little boys. And I knew at 12 that the West Memphis Three did not commit this crime.
Absolutely.
Yeah. At 12, I was just like, they did, but they didn't do it. And I didn't understand how they were being arrested and prosecuted and they were going to prison. And then like the movie stops. It was just like, they're going to prison. And I was naive enough at 12 to believe that like the justice system always worked. Like this was my introduction, right? So I got heavily involved into true crime, which is then when I found out about, you know, Ronnie DeFeo. DeFeo. Just gave it to me. And I, you know, found that whole thing just like fascinating in like a, you know, terrible fucking where I wanted to know what happened. And then I watched the first Amityville Horror and went in, you know, believing that it was absolutely true. And
that's funny.
Yep, that is facts on paper, facts. And then I watched Amityville 2 like it was a documentary. Like we had to change the names to protect the innocent, and I was like, there's nobody innocent in this whole house.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Montelli family and the DeFeo family are, you know, analogous. I get
Yeah,
I think that's the word, but yeah, it's they're basically the same.
Yeah. So I like went in and I was totally watching what happened to Ronald DeFeo as Sonny, and I had a very hard time watching a movie knowing what happened. And for me personally, like the movie is just like 20 minutes too long.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. No. Okay. So fun fact, you'll love this. So there's a moment when we're watching it and I told Slink, I said, hey, can you hit me a pause for a second? And he hit a pause and then he went, oh shit, really?
Like, yeah.
Like he goes, there's 20 minutes left, honey. And
yeah,
and I just went,
yep.
I just went, what? You know?
Yeah. The last like 20 minutes just really didn't need to happen. I would have just liked more stuff in the house.
Yes, I
And
would have been fine if the last scene in that movie
yes.
was literally the priest blessing the bodies, and we're done here.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and Ronnie DeFeo goes to jail.
To jail. Yeah.
Yeah, like
Because
that.
that is the reality of
Right.
the actual story. Oh my God. So, my limited background with this was that I was around 11 or 12 years old. My mom let me and a gal pal who was spending the night rent like all of the Amityvilles, which at that point I think was up to like it might have been three or four as I had them. And three, for being as on HBO as it was, because it was on HBO all of the fucking time, all day long. It was the just one of the guys of the horror set, right? It was like I turned the TV, oh, just one of the guys is on again, you know. It was on so much, and I tried watching three several times as an adult, and I mean, it is a slog to get through. It is, for being what it is a very boring movie. So, but I did remember two being scary to me for some reason at that age, like just being very uncomfortable and scared of it. And that is all she wrote. That's all. And so this was, 40 something years later. Ish, anyway, 30 something years later, that I was like, hey, I'm gonna pick this out because, nostalgia.
Yeah, no, I
And
get
also,
that.
yeah, and also Slink, because Slink also grew up in Jersey, and this movie was filmed in Toms River, New Jersey, and he was like, yeah, that is a stone's throw, and has, been by the original house, yeah, and he has all that background with it, right? So I was like, oh, hey, like let's watch this. And he pointed out, because I looked at the house and I went, okay, so did they shoot at the real house? And that is when Slink was like, God, I love you. No, that is, and I said, but the house looks like the house. And he goes, honey, in the Northeast, all of the houses look like this. This is not specific to to Long Island. This is just what the houses look like up there. And I went, oh, and yeah, so
Yeah, there are, but like the look of the house and, like looking like a skull with the chimney and the
and the
eyes,
eyes,
like, yeah, the house is very unnerving when you look at it. So like,
Okay, all right.
I absolutely love the look at the house. I wanted to go out to Amityville and like look at the house, but neighbors were, like, stop coming here, like
Oh yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I can imagine people
Yeah.
do that shit with BTK's house all the time. People will
Yeah.
just, and then you can hear the neighbors screaming at them like, "You don't deal with all this. We deal with this every day." Blah 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 blah, and I'm like, "Yeah, I am not going to be the person who pulls up in her, Hyundai Elantra so
Yeah.
she can get so she can take a gander at, said haunted house." No, that's not going to happen. So
Yeah, no, I believe now that it has been torn down.
okay,
I
down,
believe that that
yeah.
is true. That just like the neighbors got so like, don't fucking come here,
Right.
and just like had the city tear the house down. So now like there's no reason to come here. There is no more fucking house.
Oh my
Nobody
God.
is haunted. Like, go back to Wisconsin.
Okay, yeah. So this movie opens on a hazy day in Long Island, with child's voices singing, because there is nothing creepier than that.
Yeah, agreed. It is just a haunting noise of, yeah, the just school children like playing with the, background. Yeah.
La 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 la. Yeah,
Yeah.
nope. Nope.
Haunting.
Absolutely. Fuck that. And so this movie is, and here's how I would describe it. If a Lifetime TV movie and an episode of Cops, had a baby, and then The Exorcist decided to stop by for a nightcap,
Yeah, I can give you that.
like The Exorcist wasn't there for the whole meal. The Exorcist was basically like, "Hey, you guys up?
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, no, I like that because there are a lot of things in the movie to be frightened of.
Oh my God!
Before the demon just shows up.
Yeah, that's yes. There are so many things that made me uncomfortable with this movie. Okay, so a family pulls up to this beautiful, beautiful home, and this is the Montelli family, complete with not quite twins, but brother and a little brother and sister. A teenage son named Sonny, a teenage daughter named Trish, and a mom and a dad. Now, Burt Young is in this movie. Anybody who knows Burt Young is famous for being nominated for an Oscar for Rocky. He's in Back to School. He's in a number of things. And Burt Young is one of those guys that just looks like, you know, he needs like a fan and a moist towelette.
Yeah.
You know, he is sweaty all the time.
Yeah. So he looks like a heavy set alcoholic, Dean Stockwell.
Like a bookie.
Yeah. Yeah. Like for me, I was just like, oh, you're a heavier set guy from Quantum Leap. With Ziggy.
And this family has three cars. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, well, it was the early 80s. It was before, you know, we decided to stop giving all of our money to corporations and giving them rights as people, where, you know, you could support a family of fucking six off like one good paying job.
And this early house. 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this house is a three-story house. I didn't even know that till we were watching it, and Slink pointed it out. He's like, no, honey, that's the third story. And I went, what? What sorcery is this? The daughter would be recognizable because that is Diane Franklin from Last American Virgin. Check out our Last American Virgin episode. good luck. And she's also in Better Off Dead. She was
gorgeous.
Absolutely.
She's such a 10.
Gorgeous, adorable, adorable girl, you know. They move into this house and they go into the kitchen. I love this. Mom goes into the kitchen, turns on the faucet, and immediately it just starts like just like dripping blood.
Yeah.
And she's horrified. But then she's like, oh, this is fine.
Yeah, like it like clears and you can see she's trying to rationalize it of just like, oh, all right, you know, rusty pipes. And I was like, okay, that wasn't like rust colored. That was like thick coagulated blood. Mm-hmm. And then I had the question of you move into your dream house, right? Because it's a gorgeous house. It's on the lake. Absolutely gorgeous. Everybody's got space for all their activities. What would be the thing that makes you leave that house? Like at what point is it too much? Is it, you know, like the, you know, chains rattling? Is it like the cabinets opening, the lights flicker? Like when do you say, you know what, fuck this, I'm leaving?
I'll be honest with you, the second I turned on the faucet and I saw the Karo syrup thickness of blood coming out of it, I would have been like, we're, you know, too bad we can't stay, baby, you know, like I'm out, you know. That and then when they have that poor hapless repairman over to look at the basement and he comes out dripping with poop, I was like, I'm good. I've seen the money pit. I know how this goes. What would your like what? Okay, so you have a gorgeous house. Like you guys have one of those fucking dream homes, you know? So at what point would you have to abandon said dream home? Like, I would love to know this about you because you are kind of like into the possession stuff. You're into the demonology, if you will. So I figure you would kind of be like, okay, cool. We got a ghost. Like I'm into this, you know?
I would need to like, it would need to be like visual shapes moving, like cabinets opening, lights flickering, like we would talk and I would just be like, we gotta share a space. But once I could like physically see like you know, you see it sometimes like movies where just like a darkness and there's like no reason and you know, things like that of just moving in the night, and I would be like, oh, okay. It's too much now. Yeah, like we
Book
could open
us.
cabinets, we could slam doors and
We're
do
done.
all the things. Like, you go and slam my damn door, you better pay some rent. And I would absolutely talk to an entity like that, faux show.
100%.
But yeah. Yeah, it would be or something is touching me, things like that. Yeah, it would need to be much more physically active. The chances
Okay.
are my kids could absolutely get possessed through their Walkman, and I would just be like, ah, suck it up. I'm not excited. We took out a mortgage.
So yes, absolutely. I agree. I do agree with you on that. But yeah, if I started seeing shapes and things moving, I suffer from night terrors. And so every so often, I'll say like every 3 months or so, if I'm under a tremendous amount of stress, anxiety, what have you, I will see a shape or figure in my bedroom. And they will be very, very close to my face, to the point that like I gasp for air. And I have to kind of tell myself when it's happening, like it's not real, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real, right? So yeah, shapes sh shapes in the night, I am not a fan of.
Oh yeah, like would you be able to know that, you know, that it's not shadow people? Just like it's just
Brought
a
on by
random
my
person.
ZzzQuil habit? No.
Right. Or like, is that like a real go? Ooh, that's terrible.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. See, questions. This is you're here for the feelings,
Yeah. Thoughts and feelings.
Thoughts
That's
and
what I
feelings.
bring.
I love it. So, this is not so much a marriage as it is Stockholm syndrome. It's interesting how the first Amityville is very much based on like this family comes in and then things start to happen. And I think one of my biggest qualms with Amityville 1 is that it is very clunky and there's not a whole lot that happens. It's very subtle until it's not. Whereas Amityville 2 like right off jump, there is no, there is no like, we're a nice, happy, wonderful family. It's like, no, the family is trash when they get there.
Yeah.
And the house just makes it more vivid.
Yeah. I loved that about one. I loved that, like, they were like this nice, loving, happy family, and just like a slow descent
Into madness.
into madness, and it's too much. Yeah. See, I loved that about Amityville one, whereas in this one, it was just like, there is so much to be scared of in this whole house, in this family dynamic.
None of it has to do with demons.
Yeah, before the demon even shows up, this is terrifying. Dad is scary. Sonny is not well. Mom is like looking the other way, but also not looking the other way, and like getting herself kicked out. Like she gets the shit kicked out of her as well. Like a whole lot of just like bad negative energy. And we know like that there is like a spirit in the house already from, you know, like the mover guy that went in to a secret room, which, okay.
Which wasn't in the first one. Because
No.
wasn't the first one just the basement? It was just the basement that was kind
There
of.
was just the basement, but there was like that red room
Okay.
that was like under the stairs, which like this one wasn't under the stairs, because I distinctly remember that red room.
Okay.
Because the red room like terrified me for whatever fucking reason.
Okay.
Yeah. So like the spirit is already there, and I feel like their rage and anxiety and all of that, like gave the spirit demon more life and more power, because it feeds off energy, which is
I
my thought process.
like that. That's kind of like the I live in the weak and the wounded,
Yeah.
from session 9, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So we have a slightly uncomfortable exchange between brother and sister.
Slightly.
Yeah. Oh no. Very uncomfortable.
What in the CC Andrews was happening
Hold.
in 1980? Like, I feel like we were really trying to push like Incest is cool, kids.
Yeah, exactly. Because here's the thing. I have never, my brother and I are getting a lot closer in our old age, and we talk every day now, and
Which is normal.
which is normal. I have never in that time, and even before, I have never asked my brother what his type was. And
Never.
nor has my brother made a reference to boobs or also we're not a very touchy-feely kind of family. Like really not. And so when he's got his arms around her and shit, I'm like, I don't know if that, and I don't know. I gotta question myself. And I was like, and see, Slink's an only child, you know? So I don't have anything to go by. Maybe my family's fucking weird. I don't know. So
I mean, I only have an older
sister. Yeah.
But like there is a part of me that like my brain can wrap around, like Sunny came first and then there was Trish, and Dad has always been volatile, so we found comfort in each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it like it was weird. And then I go, but wait a minute, because I have three kids that like, you know, daughter was first, then two boys, and like my husband now wasn't like the best husband to his first wife. They were drinking together and yelling at each other and screaming at each other, and it was volatile, but you know, and that's how my kids were raised when they were born.
Mm-hmm.
And never has there been this weird moment of like awkward closeness between any of them.
Okay. So yes, I am not the odd man out here.
No,
this scene is uncomfortable to them.
Uncomfortable. Where yeah, I tried to go, all right, so they have like this weird trauma bond. And then I thought about it and I went, okay, but like, let me look at my, and yeah, my daughter would absolutely go live on the streets before she was weird with her brother.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh God. Yeah.
She would just hitchhike to wherever.
And it starts this way.
Yes.
Like, I mean, they're walking into said attic, you know, and they're very like, hey, with each other. So yeah, so we okay. Buckle up, folks. It's only gonna get worse. So this happens, and then the mover is moving a cask of guns.
Yeah. Into the basement.
Into the basement.
And this is when I hated mom, actually.
Oh,
she was unpacking the basement first. And I said, what? In what fucking world?
It's weird.
I have moved so many times.
Yeah.
And you want to know what the last thing to go up is? The drapes on the windows.
Thank you. Okay, so I said that too. I was like, why is she unpacking the drapes? And then I thought to myself, I'm like, is that what you unpack first? I don't know. I've never really had drapes, so perhaps that's a thing. Is she going bottom to top instead of top to bottom? Like,
no, the first thing that you set up is your bed, so you have a place to sleep when you eventually absolutely crash from moving. And so like the bed is the most important thing, and I was just like, all right, maybe she's getting sheets, maybe they're not drapes, like
yep,
let me make sure, because she's getting sheets for all the beds. And then I looked and I went, no, they're drapes.
Those are gauzy drapes. Yes. So then the other thing that like totally blew me and Slink away was that she cooked an entire pot roast dinner.
An entire Thanksgiving fucking dinner with like the polished silver on moving day.
And I went, there's no way, dude. Moving day is Chinese food or pizza. Everyone
Absolutely.
Knows that.
Everyone knows that you do usually pizza, like moving out of the house, putting it onto the van. And yes, you get Chinese food delivered as you are unpacking. Like, there are rules. Nobody is making a Thanksgiving fucking dinner with polished silver and tablecloths. And like, absolutely fucking not. And then I just had to chalk it up to like, well, Dad's going to beat the shit out of her if she doesn't. So I have to just like, it's absolute nonsense. And I would have just taken the ass whooping, because there's no way I'm cooking a fucking roast and green bean casserole and sweet potato yam and stuffing. And like, Thanksgiving fucking meal. I made a fresh pie. Like, fuck off. Just get your ass whooped. It's going to happen anyway at some point.
Oh my God. So while they are, you know, just sitting down to dinner, they're about to do the blessing because they're good Catholics. They're about to do the blessing. And then the mirror falls from the nearby table. And
yeah, because they have all their shit up hanging on the walls as well.
Right, which is crazy because that happens like day four, right? You know, and so and Dad, Anthony, he turns into Ike Turner, and yep. He is pip slapping all over the place. It yep. is like, wait a second, what? Wow, we took a left turn, really, like a hard left, like oh my
god,
I was
just like. I don't believe that you allowed Sonny to hang pictures on the wall. I feel like that's all you.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny didn't do that, but okay. And yeah, is just absolutely Ike Turner. And, you know, and then Mom stands up and is just like, you know, fucking knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a good meal together as a family. All we've been doing is fighting because moving day is stressful.
Oh, yeah.
You have been cooking for 8 hours as well as moving in one day, you know, and then like everybody kind of like reels it in, including Dad, and like sits down and they have dinner. And I was just like, well, if you command so much space and energy when you get upset, like why? Dad shouldn't be given like leeway to do all of the things that he does
mm-hmm.
if you are so because that like that wasn't my experience.
Yeah,
like maybe there are domestic, you know, situations where like that is a thing, but you know, I can only view things through my own eyes, my own experience. And I was mm-hmm. just like, but wait, you run the household because you shut that shit down. And if that were me in my life and my experience, and the guy that, you know, I was with just started like throwing fucking hands and I was getting loud and upset, we're still just throwing fucking hands. We're not going back to dinner.
Yeah, so exactly. Dinner's probably over at this point.
Dinner's on the floor and, you know, clean it up. And now I'm going to order fucking Chinese, which we should have fucking done because it's goddamn moving day.
Damn right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we go upstairs. So everybody's, you know, obviously done with dinner. Sonny is in the bathroom, which, by the way, has carpet.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the 80s.
80s, baby.
We don't know what we were fucking doing. Cocaine carpet, was in all of us.
Carpet in the bathroom. Flex shampoo right there.
Yeah.
I miss Flex and I miss Prel. I do. I miss Prel. The green, which I'm sure had a million hormones in it and was killing us all, but whatever. I do miss that shampoo. Somehow a tablecloth decides to cover the cross that's downstairs.
You get like the POV from like the demon coming out of the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like 3 feet tall, you know, just from like the POV of like what he can see. And I totally chuckled to myself about that. I was just like, oh, it's little Michael Myers.
He's a tiny king.
We love a short king around here.
We love a short king. So there's a rapping at the front door. And Mr. I always want to call him Maselli, but I'm like, nope, it's not Who's the Boss. Montelli or DeFeo, if you want to look at it that way. He comes downstairs with a 12-gauge shotgun, comes to the doorstep, steps out, you know, and nobody's there, you know. So meanwhile, upstairs in the kids' room, the paintbrushes have started moving independently.
Yes.
And they paint this amazing mural on the wall.
Yeah, tight.
like really nice. And then it says something about pigs, and I didn't actually write that down.
Dishonor thy father.
Oh, shit.
In cursive.
Uh-huh, yeah, in cursive.
And then, you know, the pigs Manson thing everywhere.
Yeah.
That would have gotten me to move out.
Yeah, that was really interesting and immediately like I said, Burt Young, 100% Ike Turner, pulls his belt off, starts beating the kids, backhands the mom. I mean,
and then Sonny grabs the 12 gauge and finger on the trigger, puts it to his head.
Yes. Now, before this happens, this is interesting, because before this happens, Sonny has been listening to his Walkman.
Yes.
And the Walkman is speaking to him in a demon voice, just telling him just random shit. And Sonny walks down the stairs and then pauses dramatically like he's in a Billy Squier video. Like he kind of does a little pose, then grabs the gun, then puts it up to, you know, dad's neck, and
yeah.
that is it. And then the next day, everyone's going to church.
Yep. What really? What else are you gonna do?
You're gonna go to Point Pleasant Beach in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, to a church. Now, the interiors of the house were actually shot in Mexico City. This was a Mexican and a American collaboration that they did with this film. So the outside and all the things that you see when they're driving around, the church, for instance, all of that is Toms River. Everything inside the house is Mexico City, baby.
Huh.
So at church, dad is conspicuously missing because he doesn't do the whole church thing. It's just mom and the twins and the daughter. Sonny is home because, quote, he is not feeling well.
Yeah. Sonny hasn't been feeling well in some days.
And dad apparently just doesn't do the whole church thing. So she meets our blonde-headed priest, and he, you know, introduces himself, and pleasantries are exchanged. And then she says, listen, I need you to come bless the house.
Yep. Father Frank, please come bless the house. I'd love to.
Right. He's like, okay. And then he gets there, opens up his priest pouch, which is amazing. Like, it looks like a doctor bag, and it has all this priest shit in it. Like the scepter thingy that throws the water, Catholic, but you know what I mean? That thing, the stole.
Yeah. The stole, the incense, all, you know, and little Sharon, the 9-year-old, she's like, and what's that? And what's that? And what's that? And what's that? And, you know, dad is just walking around like, the fuck you got a priest in my house for? I don't go to church. He don't come here.
He's like, cigarette father? Like,
yeah. You want a drink? You want a shot of bourbon? No, thank you.
He's like, we got you. So meanwhile, the kids are in the kitchen. One of the kids takes a plastic bag and puts it over the other kid's like, what? Like, it turns into a scene from Maniac. Like, he just fucking pulls it over his face, and
I've had that in my house with the kids. Knives were chasing each other. Yeah, I caught it on camera, and I was just like, one of the boys is chasing another boy with the knife up the stairs. Like, we need to get home.
Oh my
god! Apparently, kids play crazy. Ha!
Kids do the weirdest things, right?
Yeah.
So, the priest is seeing all kinds of crazy ass shit. He's like, he saw blood, then he didn't see blood, then he was like, all right, I gotta go. So he leaves and then finds his Bible just shredded inside of his car. And it's like, uh-oh, there is a problem. And at one point, he actually goes into the bedroom to see Sonny, who is, of course, you know, not well, right? And the priest is pretty cool. He's like a cool priest.
Yeah, no, Father Frank is totally cool. And he is like down to help this family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for all things, you know, he really just wants to help them, welcome them to this community. He gets, you know, teenagers be wiling and, you know, just like, oh, you like being alone? Yeah, I just prefer to be by myself. Yeah, I get it. If you ever want to talk, I'm here. No judgment.
Yeah.
Like, we can rap, bro. Crack his back.
Like, he strikes me as the kind of priest that would like just bring out a joint.
Yeah.
You know, be like,
bring
I'm
out
cool.
A joint, listen to, you know, Cool in the Gang. You know, I'm just like you, bro. Like, just, he's that guy.
You got any Allman Brothers? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you like the Sugar Hill Gang? Me too.
Me too. Yeah. All right. So that night, Sonny hears a who. He immediately starts hearing like ghosts and things moving around. There is what absolutely, if you turn up your volume on your television, sounds like the sounds of sex coming from the basement. It sounded kind of like there was like a demon orgy.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And like Sonny's, so what, whoever the actor is that played Sonny is absolutely in a high school play.
Yeah, he never did any. Yeah, he immediately like he did like one other thing and then quit acting, and now I think he's a high school principal, to be honest. So yeah.
Tracks. Yeah, because it is just like close-ups on his face. We can't see what he is seeing, but he is in horror of what he sees, and your imagination just needs to figure that out. And it is very soap opera-y, if you will, of just like very exaggerated, and you're just like, I really wish we could see this from Sonny's POV of what is terrifying him to like fall down the stairs, and he's shooting his gun and like blankly around the house, and like what is happening on the other side of the camera, and you just fill it in.
Yeah, and then he gets tummy raped. He gets tummy raped by a ghost,
Yeah.
and
Really bad.
then everyone comes back from church because
Yep.
apparently they came home, the priest blessed it, that didn't go right. They went back to church, and then I think they went out to dinner. Then they came back home, and here we go. So, yes, they return from church, and. Ah, this is a line that will live in infamy in the recesses of my brain, whether I like it or not. Sister Trish is in her bedroom with her brother, which is also 100% not something that would ever happen, especially in a nightgown. Also 100% something that would never happen.
I'm okay with that portion because of everything else that just happened with the priest there, and mom made dad go apologize, and like we're now
Okay.
reconnecting for like the events of the day because it's a lot. I'm 16-ish, 15, 16, and I need the only person that I feel is safe in this
Okay.
whole fucking dynamic.
Which I totally get the conversation. I get the comforting element of it. I, however, do not get the I'm gonna wear a nightgown with nothing underneath. That is where, hey, maybe we want to get a fuzzy robe.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. So anyway, she turns to her brother and says, and I quote, "I think mommy doesn't want to make love to daddy anymore."
Yeah, weird.
And then my soul left my body.
Yeah.
I had to pause it and went, oh my God. And then you think like that could possibly be the weirdest thing I've seen in this film. And the film says, "Hold my beer." Because then Brother Sonny says to Sister Trish, "Hey, you are the most beautiful woman I have ever seen. Let's play photographer." And so they play photographer, and he says, "Why don't you take off your nightgown?" And
Yep.
she's like, and he's like, "Just for a moment." And then yeah, and then
And she's like, okay.
okay, and then there's hands on nipples, and they disappear out of frame. So the next scene we see is her going to confession and talking about how she has had intercourse with somebody, and that person is doing it to hurt God.
Yeah.
And the priest is both offended and confused, and she runs out. And the priest comes back to bless the house again. And he says something. He says this very strange line, which I still don't understand, but I'm going to ask you anyway, because maybe it's a Jersey thing. I don't know. He looks at Sonny and he says, "Nice territory." And I was like, is he talking about his bedroom? Is he talking
Yeah.
about the house? Like,
No, yeah, it's his bedroom 'cause like that's his place.
right.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's like the 90s just like, oh, nice crib. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So at this point, he's using his scepter to bless the house. Blood starts pouring out of the scepter, and then he goes and talks to his other priest friend, and says, "Hey, I need to get approval for an exorcism." And I was like, "Well, once again, hard left, just whoop." And then at one point, Trish shows up at the priest's office and says, "Hey, I'm really sorry about confession. Would you like to come to Sunny's birthday party?"
Yeah.
Which, once again, I was just like, why would you invite your priest to a teenage boy's party?
I think because they know something is wrong. And the
Okay.
only thing that they can eat, because, you know, they're being raised in the church and like God for everything. And God is the middleman. We're not strong enough. Like, we need you because something is fucking wrong. And, you know, we don't have like shrinks in psychiatry. Like, it's 82. So mental health doesn't exist yet. All we have is you. You are the only weapon that makes any sense to us because something is wrong in the house.
Wow. Oh, that's great. I did not know, because, like I said, I don't come from a churchy family, and I don't come from a, like, we lean on the church for everything, bro. So, and you told me during the Alice Sweet Alice episode that that is 100% a Catholic thing.
Yeah. And that is, you know, I was raised like that till I was 13 and my mom got sick and my dad was just like, "Oh, we're not Catholic anymore. We're now Native American." Sharp left in my life too.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So the priest is like, "Yeah, I'm not going to do that."
Yeah, I can't.
I don't want to come to your, you know,
weirdo house.
Weird house anymore. So she leaves, and then this other handsome priest walks in. And handsome priest says to other handsome priest, while he straightens his collar, he says, "Hey, we're going camping."
Yeah,
and I was like, right on. Oh, you get on with your gay self. I love this. Yeah, he's like the Father Dyer to his Father Karras. I was into it. I was like, yeah, I'm into that. I like that. So they leave to go camping.
With
Mom,
the phone ringing.
With the phone ringing. I love that. With the phone ringing. Mom, meanwhile, at the birthday party, starts to suspect something is definitely wrong. Like, she kind of looks over and sees Sonny put his hand on his sister's lower back, etc. And so she suspects something, and rather than talking to the kids or maybe telling her husband, that's not a thing.
Well, you would never tell this husband anything.
Anything. Absolutely. She slaps her daughter.
Yeah.
She does the, "You have brought shame to this family."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's clearly always the woman's fault.
Absolutely. You know? It's 1982.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is absolutely the women bringing shame into the household.
How dare you? So, Sunny has now fully transformed into a demon. Now, okay. The one thing I can kind of say about this as a horror film is that the demon transformation stuff is actually kind of cool. Like, there's a lot of, like, a lot of squid, a lot of bubbling underneath.
A lot of body horror.
A lot of transformation. Like, this isn't, you know, "Hey, I put a demon mask on." This is like, "Oh, my face is changing and my voice is changing." So, Sonny has fully transformed into a demon and grabs the shotgun and goes on a killing spree. Much like Ronald Jr. DeFeo, also known as Butch, did back in the 70s? 70s? Was it the 70s?
Yeah. 74, I want to say.
Sure, I'll go with that. And now, in the original story, Butch DeFeo basically said that he did all of this while everybody was sleeping. So he went to each person as they were sleeping and just shot them, you know. In this movie, they really ratchet up the tension, and people are running and, you know, getting killed and pleading for their lives, and there's all kinds of stuff going. But no, he pretty much annihilates, I learned that word, annihilates the family.
Yep. Family annihilator.
So the priest wakes up in camping with said other priest, and he's like, "Something's wrong."
Yeah.
So he goes to, you know, the house, and of course cops are everywhere. They're leading Sonny away. And I was just wondering, I'm like, because he comes in and he goes, "No, it's okay. I'm a priest." And I'm thinking, do priests just get like free reign to just wander onto a crime scene?
Yeah. It was the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, the Catholic Church scandal hadn't happened yet, so it definitely could have been of just like, because you know, and you are allowed a lawyer, and mm-hmm. you know, your last rites and whatever. So sure, you know, he murdered his whole family. You know, bless him, he's getting the death penalty.
Absolutely, he's crying, and he's like, "I don't remember what happened. I don't remember what happened." They put him in the cop car, and then they show this jail cell, which is lovely. Can I just say that this jail cell is lovely? I talked to Slink. I said, is that what jail looks like? Because he knows. And he was like, no, absolutely not. He goes, clearly, that is a hotel room with bars.
Yeah, with bars.
But
there was just like the thought of just like, you know, because like when I get put into jail, it's usually, you know, it's like for dumb shit, really, like realistically.
Right.
Not you know,
murder.
Yeah, I've never slaughtered an entire family while they slept, and like maybe they go somewhere else, but it's definitely not to like the Hilton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty nice. And then he had the priest came to visit him, mm-hmm. and then the we're gonna say chief of police. Just throwing it out there. Don't really know.
Yeah, definitely somebody high up on the police force.
And the priest basically says, I cannot treat him here. It's not his. This is my favorite. It's not his fault. Mm-hmm. I cannot treat him here. And the upper guy is like, are you asking me to let him go?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, is this really a thing that's happening right now?
Yeah. And the cop is just like, I mean, I can't, but like, you can kind of see where like the cop was like, mate, like how
yeah. could you do this? He kind of considered it for a second. Yeah.
There was like that second where he was just like, yeah, maybe I could. Oh no. The mayor would be on my ass.
Absolutely. Like, he's like, rah, rah,
yeah,
I can't do that. So then the next thing we see is Sonny is in the hospital and he is not eating. Because the demon won't let him eat. This is when the exorcist stops by for a cup of coffee. Okay.
Yeah.
Because now we're getting into, you know, Reagan is just the vessel. So mm-hmm. we're going to starve her. We're going to make her sick so that she dies, you know, and then we'll move into a different vessel. Right. So like, that's what they're doing with Sonny is the demon is, you know, he's not eating, he's not sleeping, he's not doing any of those things. So,
But I just feel like, so demon inside, you murder your entire family mm-hmm. because of the demon inside of you. And now the demon is killing you. I still feel like you get into heaven, right? Like from a priest perspective.
From a priest perspective, clearly a Catholic priest perspective. Yes.
Right, like.
Not your fault.
Yeah, not evil. You didn't invite the demon in. You literally just lived with your family in a demon house. Mm-hmm. And the demon took, like, let him go.
Mm-hmm. So,
like, that was my issue. Like, right when we're here, I just went, okay, but he gets to go be with Jesus and the Spirit and God. Like, that's a win for you guys, right? Or do you guys like think does something else happen in Catholicism? But yeah, no, just this is a win.
So suddenly the word save me pops up in blood mm-hmm. on his arm.
Yeah. And what for what?
And then the higher up guy is like, hey, you know, yeah, go ahead and take him.
Yeah, it's okay. You can absolutely take this kid that just murdered his whole family. Yeah,
no police escort necessary.
No,
by the way.
No, I don't need to know where you're going. It's fine. Just take him out the back. So I have like plausible deniability.
Absolutely.
Like your nonsense.
Sure. Okay. So
okay.
First the priest takes him to the church and he freaks the fuck out and he's like, nope. And he runs to the house. Okay. So I'm once again, I'm like, wow, they really right down the street from each other, you know?
Yeah. Right down the street and no police tape. And also, you know, house is empty.
Yeah.
House is empty and clean, which anybody that, you know, knows anything about crime, like, you have a violent attack in your house, you have to clean that yourself or hire professional biohazard clean.
Hmm.
But yeah, no, that's a fun fact. I had to do that in Ocala. But yeah, so I like the house is dirty with dirt, but not blood, guts, brain matter, no furniture. Everything is gone in 16 minutes after a insane family annihilation murder. We don't need any more evidence. It's fine. We have a photo. Yeah, no, it's... So many things happened here where I just went, this should have stopped 10 minutes ago.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
we were great. And, now
we were fine until this, really.
Yeah.
So the priest follows him up to the attic, you know, where everything happens, follows him up to the attic. And then he goes full demon, turns into Short King Stephen Jeffries from 976 Evil. I mean, really looks like fucking Stephen Jeffries. Like, there's no question about it. It's like, oh, I see how they modeled that. Okay. And the priest is doing all this priest things, right? He's doing the prayer. He's saying, like, please protect me. He's, you know, leave his body and enter mine. Very exorcist.
Yep.
And at one point in time, the demon turns around and it's Trish, except that it's Trish painted up like baby Jane.
Yeah. Baby. Yeah. What happened to baby Jane? Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, full on like crazy red lipstick and like
eyeshadow,
yeah.
The eyebrow. Yeah. Oh, the 80s man. Were a wild time.
It was a wild time, guys. And she looks at him and she's like, you know, I know during confession that you wanted to have sex with me. And I'm like, no, I don't think he's in the vagina business.
No, yeah, no, he, but again, demons always seem to like know things, so
they do. Maybe he's conflicted, so yeah. He looks at her and he's like, no, I did not want to have sex with you. And for some reason that changes her back into Sunny Demon.
Maybe the demon didn't know that he was gay and was just throwing like a, of course you'd want to fuck me, I'm a kid,
a Hail Mary.
Yeah, it was a Hail Mary pass of just like, I'm a kid, you want to fuck me? And gay priest was like, really, I don't. And it was like, man, I've lost my powers.
And then his partner, his partner, enters the house also. And at that point, they have exorcised the demon out of Sunny. And then
the house like blows up, but doesn't blow up.
Yeah. So like one, so priest lover number two, grabs Sunny and comes out of the house, and the cops are waiting for him. Fucking SWAT team's already set.
So now he's going to go to prison for the rest. Right. And he's saying like, we'll make them understand. And
yes,
I was just like,
that's
no,
my favorite.
No.
Is that the priest says, it says, it's not your fault. We'll make them understand. And I went, I don't think that is how New York works.
No, that is not happening. So we have now just exorcised him to go spend his life in prison for the rest of his fucking life with like serious criminals. And he is a young teenage boy.
Yeah.
We have like really done him a disservice by exercising him. Leave the fucking demon in there. Let it starve him and send him to heaven. Like we're not doing this right.
Yeah, no, it should have ended that moment when the priest shows up and he's like, it's okay, I'm their priest. Like he should have crossed those bodies and he out and credits, you know.
And yeah, now
River.
The demon's just in jail and creating havoc in the prison system. Sure, yeah. No problem.
Sure, yeah. But no, and we go back to the priest, and the priest has now become, you know, the demon. And then the house explodes.
Yeah.
Credits.
But the house also doesn't explode because the Lutz family is moving in.
Yeah. So then
there's like the sign of like for sale, and like the Lutz family is going to buy it and move in.
And the house is just fine.
Just fine.
Just fine. So that is Amityville 2, The Possession. You can watch that on Tubi.
Tubi!
I wouldn't necessarily call this a fun movie because, like I said, that first the first 45 minutes of this movie are an episode of Cops. You know, just
yeah,
like, she hit me
Cops.
First. You know,
yeah. V.C. Andrews, Lifetime movie, The Burning Bed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All
an
that.
Episode on Degrassi.
Oh, yeah. So, But it is available if you do wish to watch it. It is on Tubi. Apparently, there are a lot of Amityville movies. I looked it up and I believe it said something to the neighborhood of like 12 or 13. It could be more. It could be more, guys. But I mean, they have made everything from Amityville Christmas to Amityville It's About Time to Amityville The Return to Amityville The Beginning to, Amityville with Ryan Reynolds. There's an Amityville really for everybody.
Yeah, if you want to watch in Amityville, just type it into Tubi, because as I was typing it into Tubi, it kept going longer than the 80-inch TV I watched it on could fit categories. It was just like, how you want to watch all of them? We'll be here till Wednesday. And I was like,
Absolutely.
oh my goodness.
Did not know that. Did not know there were that many at all. So, that is Amityville 2, and we're going to give a special shout out to our fan, our friend, our sister from another mister, the lovely Miss Kim Campbell. Big shout out. She's recovering from surgery. We love her dearly. We're going to do a movie in her honor.
Yes, we are.
And we're in no it's we're in November. I don't even know what we're doing next. I ha
Don't we have a coffee movie?
we have a Priscilla Queen of the Desert. Yes, we
Yeah.
have a coffee movie that is for Robert Ortiz. He paid his money. He's getting his film. We're a little late for Pride, but you know what? Pride, if you support our gay brothers and sisters, guess what? It's Pride all year long. So.
Yeah, because I remember like thinking like, never watch November, and I have never seen Priscilla Queen of the Desert.
Nice. Oh, it's fabulous.
Yeah,
It is.
like I it
Yeah.
has been on my, to watch list forever, but
Nice.
then
Okay.
I just go like, oh, I should just watch like Halloween 2018 again.
Okay. Well, then our next movie is Priscilla Queen of the Desert. And okay, so let's talk about how, if you would like us to do a movie, manic style, how do they go about doing that, Miss Hillary?
You can go on the interwebs and look up buymeamovie.com and search manic. What?
Buy me a coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want them to go there.
Yeah, no, don't buy me a movie. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know
We
where
don't,
it will take you.
right, we don't.
Yeah, I am not supporting them. Or maybe I am. I'll go Google that later. So
Yeah.
you go to buymeacoffee.com and you search Manic Movie Monday. See what happened?
Ooh.
And you can buy five coffees. And if you buy five coffees, you can ask us to do a movie of your choice in Manic Movie style, where Aaron will come with facts and I will come with feelings.
Yes.
Yes. And preferably something we can watch. Not some underground 1942 classic that it's a bummer when we can't find things and it bums us out because you guys have paid money. So Hillary, what does that money go to? So that money goes to helping us keep Zoom active because I'm in South Carolina and Aaron is in Florida. It helps us keep our streaming services active so we can watch all of these films. So that is buymeacoffee.com, Manic Movie Monday. Five coffees gets you a movie of your choice.
Excellent. And if you guys want to follow us on social media, we are only on Instagram. That is where we reside. Follow us on Instagram and keep it here till next Monday. As always,
Stay
stay
manic.
manic.